We've got Gene Bolduc with us on the phone, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at everything that has people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not really a thing? Everyone is upset on social media this week. This is becoming a common occurrence.
Yeah, I think I've come to believe that that's what social media is for.
Unfortunately, right?
It's a place where you go to be upset.
Yeah. And people are upset about a lot of different things. And this is kind of why we started this game in the first place. Like, it's become kind of commonplace for everyone to be complaining about 16 different things on social media.
Right.
So it's difficult for us to condense it down to just one or two or three bullet points. Like, oh, let's focus on these things. But I think in this particular week, and we were talking about this earlier, we were able to agree very quickly on a very easy way to understand everything that's going on, which is if it's related to COVID-19 and our collective response to it, then it's a thing. If it's anything to do with anything else, then it's not a thing, right? Like, at this point,
I think that's exactly right.
It's a pandemic, like, that should be our number one focus, right?
And by the way, we should be able to demonstrate that as a community and as a society, that we can focus on an important thing for over 5 minutes. I mean, I think we're going to have a very sustained effort here. And I think this is going to take a long time, and it's going to be very difficult. And it's that much more important that everybody stick together in how we are handling it. You know, there's going to be differences of opinion and conflict about when it's the right time to start doing this again or that again and so forth. But we definitely need to keep rowing in the same direction about preventing illness and managing resources that help us manage the care of people who are ill, because you know, this is just taking, a gigantic effort. My only political angle of looking at it is to keep asking the question, why does the United States continue to be unfolding as the disastrous response country? I think that's worthy of examination, but I don't think it's as simple as, the president's a dope. I don't think that's as simple as that.
Yeah. And like, I think that there's a big difference here between, and it's reflected in what people are thinking and what people are saying. And this is across the aisle, like as much press as the reopen protesters, you know, those four dozen people have gotten, like the vast majority, I don't know if you read the webcomic XKCD, but it's worth checking out. And he's got one from earlier this week. And it's about public opinion polling. And it actually is inspired by the same insight that I talk about with Tom Jensen of public policy polling on a semi-regular basis, which is you can't get people to agree on anything. Like, you can get 5% of people to say anything ridiculous. Like, 5% of the American people think that all of our world leaders are secretly 12-foot space lizards in disguise. And I'm quoting an actual survey there. Like, I'm not just making that
good
up.
Lord.
Like, 12-foot space lizards in disguise. 5% of the people you run across believe that, or at least say they do in public opinion polls. So when you see 80, 85, 90% of the people agreeing with something, that's a huge, huge deal. And what public opinion surveys are finding is 80, 85, 90% of the American people say, yep, this is serious. We should be taking this seriously. We should be in lockdown. Like, I agree with the stay-at-home orders. I agree with all of the measures that are being taken. I'm not 100% comfortable with the reopening, although I'd like to go to restaurants again and get my hair cut. Like, I want to get to that point soon, but I'm not super I'm not going to be super upset if I have to wait another week or another 2 weeks for it. The vast majority of people are on that page because the vast majority of us are taking it seriously.
Well, exactly. And I feel very confident that the reason is simple. It's because more and more people know someone, as I do, someone in my personal life, a good friend, who is now recovering.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, I'm glad she's recovering. Oh, my God. But, you know, and the older you are, the more concerning it is. I mean, this is the thing that's going to really go down a bad path for the president politically, is that the people who are becoming more and more dug in on this position that the stay-at-home thing needs to go on until we've got some dramatic changes in testing levels, contact tracing abilities, and the prospect of highly reliable treatments or a vaccine. Those people are older. That's your classic Fox News viewer, in fact, to put it to a shorthand. And, you know, where the GOP has tried to play that group in fear-mongering for political advantage, that's totally turned around on them now. And, you know, they need to, these people need help and support. And there's broad agreement about that. Everybody wants the economy to become higher functioning and for unemployment to go down. But you have to get control of a public health crisis first. There's no shortcut. Not that I can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, and that, maybe that's not saying much, but I think there's broad agreement about that it's controlling the pandemic is what will tend to get the economy to reopen.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I think could be a thing, Aaron, and you and I can promote this idea, and somebody out there can make this happen, at least locally. I think that a thing that needs to start happening again is drive-in theaters.
I was thinking about drive-in theaters, and I was thinking about drive-in concerts as well, because some
exactly,
communities
right?
are doing that. It's just a question of like finding the right space in Chapel Hill or Carrboro, and there are a few around that are potentials for this, where you just need a big parking lot or a big open field that people
right.
can pull into. But yeah, I love that idea. I want to see that happen.
I think people would really enjoy that, and would really get a sense of, you know, a sense of relief from it, that
yeah.
this is a thing. In fact, let me just go there. In fact, we boomers look back fondly on drive-in theaters.
Half of
our
listeners just turned the station right off as soon as you started
that
sentence.
No, they did not.
No,
they turned the sound up because they said, oh, wait a minute. Now she's talking to me. I think that out of a sense of nostalgia and also a thing of saying, this is what we've been talking about, what we've been waxing on about all these years, is that experience. And I really think that could be a wonderful thing. I don't think it's a business that you'd want to go into for the next 10 years, because the demand will drop off in a year or two when things start going back to normal.
But a business for the next 1 year would be good.
And, yeah. You know, buy and convert a giant property for it. But, you know, if we could take some public land or something like that, set up a little LP FM station out there where you could do drive-in movies and concerts too, that you could blast into everybody's car. We got to figure this out, Aaron. This is our project.
We gotta wrap up in just a second, but I want to ask you this, because so much of the attention has focused on the stay-at-home orders, and in North Carolina, we're in phase one. Are we going to move into phase two next Friday? Fingers crossed we can, but we'll see. What is that going to look like and all of that? But all of that attention has been focused on the the directives coming down from the states or from the counties or from towns, there's been a little bit of attention paid to what individual businesses are going to do if they're freed up to open again. But I don't think enough attention has been paid to the other side of that equation, which is, what are we comfortable doing? If all of a sudden all the stay-at-home orders went away and everything could open back up again, what would you be comfortable doing? Where would you be comfortable going?
I think that how I'm living right now would change very, very little, because, you know, I'm ordering things online where I can, going to the grocery store, the pharmacy, although the pharmacy I can switch to online, I just choose not to for now. But in terms of running out to get a haircut, for example, I'm going to wait. I would wait. And that's the other piece, is that, you know, the idea of these public policy decisions, that's really important, but the public has to have confidence, and it's not unlike consumer confidence. And we have to be very sure, and, you know, if I feel like my family's life depends on it, my haircut can wait.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
The wonderful Barbara Fushi is on the water cooler this weekend. There is no substitute for Barbara Fushi. Saturdays at 9 and Sundays at 9 and various other times speckled throughout the calendar.
1 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Sundays, and check out the full archive online at weekendwatercooler.com. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, thank you, Aaron.